question, are you ready to receive this morning? Because I really believe what I'm sharing this morning is a very, very important message for us as believers. And you'll find that if you embrace this message, there's areas in our lives that we'll be totally set free from. Things. All right. So, the first thing is that we see that in the lives of many Christians, that there are barriers. There are barriers. I don't know if you've noticed that. There are barriers in our lives. And so it's like things are not always running smoothly, and it's sometimes we feel that, you know, God is so far away. But let me say this, that if there are barriers, well, these barriers, first of all, will interfere with our walk with the Lord, the favor of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, our healing, our joy, our peace, and, you know, that list goes on and on and on. And we need to know this, that if there are barriers in our lives between us and God, it's not God. It's not God. It's us. The changes, the adjustments have to be made by us. And if there are spiritual barriers in our lives, right, that are blocking, somehow blocking our spiritual progress, it is from our side and it is not from God's side. And just listen to this. The greatest single barrier for you not receiving God's favor, the greatest single barrier for you and I not receiving God's peace, the greatest single barrier for you and I not receiving God's joy, there's a word for it. And you know what it is? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And I'm going to do my best to unpack the thing of unforgiveness because, folks, this is something that we really need to get our head around and know that we are in quite a bad place if we are not forgiving God's people. Okay? So if you want to put a title to this message, it would be, Unforgiveness is the big barrier to God's blessings. Unforgiveness, the big barrier to God's blessings. Now, in Matthew 18, verse 18 and 19, these two verses, many of us, I'm sure you know these verses, this is the powerhouse of the church. These two verses, right? This is the place where all the power is. This is the place where all the authority is. Right there. Matthew 18, 18. And this is Jesus speaking. And I want to just read what he said to us. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, now listen to this. We're talking relationships here now. If two of you agree on earth about anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So, folks, first of all, when we start to pray, and we're standing in agreement, we need to make sure that we're in the right place, that there is unity between us and that person that we are praying for. Doesn't the Word say that God commands a blessing where there is unity? So, this here, where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, you know, he's there. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at a cellular level, right there, where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, drawn together by the Holy Spirit. That is the church at a cellular level. Meeting, the meeting point is in the name of Jesus. That is where all the power and the authority is. And it is the Holy Spirit that would bring us together. So, this is the sell-off of the church. And this is what the church is actually composed of. And if you think about it in the physical, in the natural realm, if a cell is broken down and the cells in a body start to break down, that body becomes unhealthy. Is that true? It is exactly the same in the body of Christ, which is the church. Which is the church. The local cell is broken down. If it's broken down, then the whole body cannot be healthy. And like I said earlier on, no one needs more power than we saw in that verse 19 where it says, if two of you agree on earth about anything, you in unity, and you agree about anything, it will be done. Now, nowhere does it say it might be done. Sometimes it could be done. Jesus said right there, if there is absolute unity and agreement, it will be done by my Father who is in heaven. And my question to us is, what more do we need than this? All this power is in this verse, but it's kind of manifested in the application of this verse. We have to abide by the conditions of this verse to be able to have access to the power that Jesus actually spoke about here. So this promise of power that he spoke about right here, it's in a place, there's the power and it's encircled. There's a circle around it. There's a fence around it right there. And this is guarded. That power is guarded by a fence. It's there, but it's guarded by a fence. And you and I cannot have access to that power unless we meet the conditions of what Jesus actually says. And this fence has a name. The name of this fence is right relationships. Right relationships. No one belongs on the inside of the fence. You don't belong on the inside of the fence. If you are not living in a right relationship, first of all, with God and with people. Remember, what was Jesus' first command to us? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. So we need to have that relationship in place. And the second one, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Very interesting this year. So, folks, for us to have access to that power that Jesus wants us to have, we need to make sure that we abide by the conditions that he's actually given us. Now, it's interesting here. In verse 15 to 17 of the same chapter, just before Jesus gave this promise. So, he gave this promise. If you go back to these two, three verses that I'm going to read to us right now, verse 15 to 17. Well, I want to read this, but you can see it is talking about relationship again. It's talking about relationship with other people and how to deal with relational issues and so on. So he spoke about, in this portion of Scripture, what to do if a brother offends you. What do we do if we are offended by a brother or a sister in Christ? What do we do? Jesus told us what to do. Verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. What do? He's offended me, and we go and tell all our mates. And you know that guy, that person. Am I right? Often we do that. That's kind of slandering someone. Jesus made it very, very clear what to do if there is an issue between you and another brother or sister in Christ. He says, you go to that person, and it's between you and him alone. And then he goes on to say, if he listens to you, you have gained a brother. But if he does not listen, then take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Then he goes on to say, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. And you know how they respected Gentiles, and you know how they respected tax collectors in those days, right? That's how we should actually treat the person. So this is interesting. So we've got this talking about relationships right there, but then the very next verse was those two verses that I read to us, those three verses, about the powerhouse that we can actually tap into, right? This promise, this incredible promise that Jesus gives us. The next verse says, truly I say to you, this is in the context, and I'm going to read past this as well. We can see, folks, we're talking relationships here. And there's something that if we really dig, and we're going to dig into this thing today, we're going to see something I'm sure most of us have never seen before. Okay? Let me not rush ahead. Okay, so I'm going to carry on. It says, Jesus says to you, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So now, right after that promise, we have this now. So that is that incredible promise that we have. Now watch this, okay? Now Jesus gives The very next verse is the parable of the unforgiving servant. How many of us know that? The parable of the unforgiving servant. And here, there's one verse in here that I'm going to highlight because it's going to set us free. Here, Jesus tells us of the terrible, terrible consequences if we fail to forgive another brother or sister in Christ. Right? So maybe this is the point where you should just say to yourself, okay, who is it that I haven't forgiven? Because the rest of this message is about you and that person or those people. Have you made a note, mental note of that person? Right? Or are we just so together? Look, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, this church. In fact, this, again, is not for this church. I'm sure I should be sharing this somewhere else. We're just perfect, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah, we wish. But here, folks, this Jesus now tells us the terrible, terrible consequences of what happens if you and I do not forgive a brother or sister in Christ. So, have you got a mental note of those names? You can go to page 2 in your brain if you want. Ah, no, yeah. Though this is between you and those people, okay? Here it starts, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle his accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. I had no idea how much a talent was, so I actually tried to Google it during the course of this week. And it's difficult because they give you different amounts. But it's in the region of 60 to 70 million rand. Okay? You can check it out yourself, there or thereabouts. 60, 70 million. I saw another one that said a lot more than that, and there were some that were less, I don't know. But what we're saying here is we are talking big money. 60, 70 million rand. Okay, let's use that as a guideline here. And since he could not pay, this guy couldn't pay his 60 million back to him, his master ordered him to be sold. So he said, hey, you pay or you're going to be sold. And then he goes on to say, and your wife and your children and all that you have is going to be sold. I want my money, honey. All right. So his wife and his children and all that he had and payment to be made. So now this little groveler, I don't like this guy, you'll see why. This little guy, whoever he was, the servant fell on his knees, imploring him. So he starts to grovel and beg for mercy and all this kind of stuff. And normally you would say, well, you know, if somebody's asking for mercy, well. But we're going to see what this guy's like. So he started to beg for mercy. Okay, have patience on me and I will pay you everything. And then out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him his debt. The master forgave him his debt. He didn't just forgive him and say, right, okay, pay me back in 2 years' time. He says, you know that 60, 70 million? He says, removed. I forgive you. I release you from that. The whole debt, gone. Wish we knew someone like that, eh? But when the same servant, now the same guy that has just been forgiven all this money, he went out, he found a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. Now I also tried to Google that, and it looks like about 200 bucks, 200 rand, 200 rand, right? Maybe it's 500 rand, I don't know, it's around that sort of. He owed him 200 denarii, and he seized him, and he began to choke him, so he grabs hold of this guy, and he grabs him by the throat and he starts to throttle him and choke him and so on. And he choke him saying, pay me what you owe me. Pay me what you owe me. He's just been forgiven 70 million rand. Now he's throttling a guy. Then he goes on to say, So his fellow servant fell down and he pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. So he said, I will pay you. You know, just give me a day or two. That's what he was saying. So here we see that, you know, this guy that's owed 200 rand, whatever it is, you know what he says to him? He says, no, I want the 200 rand now. Now. And if you don't give it to me now, You're going to prison. I'll just, so his fellow servant fell down and he pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and he went and he put him in prison until he should pay the full debt. How's that? How's that? Now, it's good that we have people around us. People notice things. It says, when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and they reported to their master what had taken place. They would have gone to their master and they would have said to him, you know, you remember that guy that you just let off 70 million rand? I'm sure he would remember 70 million rand. He would have said, yes, I remember him. He said, you remember that guy? Well, he had that meeting with you, and as he left your office, as he left having that meeting with you, he went out and he grabbed somebody that owed him 200 rand and he started throttling him. And not only did he throttle him, he threw him into jail until he had paid him that 200 rand back. So you can imagine now this master wasn't happy. Verse 32, it says, then his master summoned him and he said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all this debt because you pleaded with me. And should you have not had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master... Now listen, this is, these next two verses are the most important. This is what I'm hinging this whole thing on, folks. And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay the debt. Pay all the debt. He delivered him to the jailers. Your translation might say the torturers. Another translation says tormentors, right? And I looked that up as well. All three of those words apply to what Jesus said right there. So in his anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he could pay. Now listen to the next verse. Jesus now comments on the story that he's just told. This is what he says. He says, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. What will he do? God, Jesus says that God will deliver, talking to Christians here, I'll show you now, us to the tormentors or the torturers if we do not forgive our brother. And not just forgive him, Jesus says, you forgive him, but you forgive him from the heart. In other words, it's not just, okay, I forgive you. You forgive him. So we can see here that Jesus was actually referring to professing Christians when he said, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. If you check it out, you'll see that it's talking to Christians. Folks, this thing of forgiveness, this is huge. And that's what Jesus said, that our Father would hand us over to the tormentors. From this story, there's two things that we can actually learn. Firstly, failure to forgive somebody is not just sin. It's wickedness. The Lord said, you wicked servant, you wicked servant. So unforgiveness is not just sin, it's wickedness as well. But the second point here that I want to share, folks, the unforgiving servant was delivered to the jailers. The unforgiving servant was delivered to the torturers. The unforgiven servant was delivered to the tormentors. And I want to make something clear here. We're not talking about where God's not forgiving us, that it's got nothing to do with our salvation. All right? Okay, so we must be careful. Some people, we've started pulling scriptures all over the place that this is in the context of relationships with people. So he's not talking about salvation or anything here. So Jesus said, so my heavenly Father will do to you, every one of you. What was it that Jesus said his heavenly Father would do? Hand us over, God would hand us over to the jailers or the tormentors if we do not forgive. I want to say, Christian, if you and I, if we do not forgive from our heart, our brothers and our sisters, specifically here talking about other believers, okay? But it also then talks about other people. But if we do not forgive our brothers and our sisters, The Lord Jesus said that God would treat you and God would treat me in exactly the same way as the master treated the servant. What did he do? He delivered him to the jailers, to the tormentors. That is what Jesus said. We need to make sure that we are not delivered to the tormentors because of our decision, that a decision that we make not to forgive somebody, right? And I want to say too, you know, today we see a multitude of Christians in churches all over the world, Christians who are in the hands of the tormentors, right? Believers, where they spiritual, mental, physical torment, any one of those areas, or sometimes all of them. Believers in that place. These are people who have actually been handed over to evil spirits. God is not the tormentor. So if it's not God, who is it in our context spiritually? Would we agree on that? All right? This is evil spirits. Christians that don't have peace, just can't have peace, don't have joy, are subjected to fear, or in their minds there's absolutely no rest, there's continual anxiety and so on. Folks, when Jesus died on the cross, he died there for our freedom, and that was partly here on planet Earth, that we could walk in the peace and the joy, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that we experience the peace, joy of the Lord, peace that surpasses all understanding, and that we are able to walk in these things that he purchased for us. Is that true? And that's how we should be living out our lives. So these people, you know, people inside the churches often, you know, go to pastors, and we've seen it, you know, for deliverance, which is right. You know, if you feel that you need prayer or deliverance, you go and, okay. But folks, it could be that God himself delivered these people to the tormentors. I'm not saying every situation's like that. But these people, these are the people that have refused to forgive a brother or sister in Christ. Are we okay out there? I'm starting to... This is the truth. This is the truth. And what we need to do is take this, what I'm sharing here today, maybe listen to it again, you can go onto our website, and take these scriptures, and we need to study these things for ourselves so that we... And really, if what I'm sharing today is not scriptural, please, let's chat about that thing, you know, so that you can help me, you know, get my theology right. All right. Good. So, if God has put you there, which it says this, there is no person on the planet that is going to get you out. God's put you there. Not one person. And I know a lot of pastors are, you know, trying, and, you know, a certain amount of success has been made and so on. But folks, if God has done it, you and I will stay in that place until we meet the conditions of getting out. Say that again. If God has put us there because we refuse to forgive a brother or sister in Christ, we will stay there until we meet God's conditions to get us out. We may have temporary relief, you know, prayer, medication, whatever, you know, all these sort of things. So now here's the key. Here's the key according to Scripture. So you and I cannot have true peace. You and I cannot have full deliverance and freedom until we freely forgive everyone. All these people, everyone whom we've got resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever it is towards. We need to deal with these issues in our lives. Deal with them. And it's not to set that person free. When we do this, when we forgive, it's to set ourselves free. This is God's unvarying condition right here. And there's no way around it. I wish I could say there was. You know, it's quite interesting. We all know the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Does it say that? So we can see that there's some correlation going on over there. So you are entitled to God's forgiveness only in the same proportion that we forgive other people. That's what that is saying. Is that true? Now I'm going to say something that you're not going to believe me. I'm going to say he's... Okay. If you do not forgive others, talking about forgiveness, God will not forgive you. And again, I'm not talking about eternity and salvation in that. God will not forgive you. Dave, how can you say something like that, that God won't forgive me? Matthew 6 verse 14, Jesus speaking. He says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Is that in the Bible? It is. I ask the question again, folks. Is there anybody that you need to forgive? Is there anybody that you need to forgive? I was sharing along these lines on Friday morning at a men's meeting. And I had one guy come to me and he said, he asked me a question. He said, "There's this person 4 years ago, you can't believe what he actually did to me. And I bumped into him a year ago. And he walked up to me and he said to me, let's forgive and forget." And this guy, let him have it. You know, let him have it. And he's sitting next to me and he said, "Do you think I should go to his office and forgive him? Tell him I forgive him." I said, "Absolutely. Absolutely." So he left, he went to this guy's office. The guy was not sure whether, you know, what he was going to get. This guy took him into his office and he said to him, he said, "You know what? I choose to forgive you what you have done to me." He says this guy broke down and he started weeping. And he got into his car and he came back and he phoned me. He says, "You can't believe the freedom that I'm experiencing, what I'm feeling right now." Is there anyone that you haven't forgiven? Don't deceive yourself. You are not forgiven by God according to Scripture. And I need to say that whatever problems you might be experiencing now, whatever they might be, this is probably the source of the problem. Where you're not having that breakthrough. You're not experiencing that, you know, that release and all of those things. This could be the very thing that will set you free if you make that decision. In other words, you don't have full forgiveness. That's really what you know what the Lord is saying. We all know Mark 11:24. I love Mark 11:24, right? And Jesus said this. "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Isn't that a nice, you know, that's incredible. That's powerful stuff. You know, if we get our head around that, this is really wonderful. But wait a minute. How many of you have read the next verse? Verse 25, the next verse. Jesus speaking, he says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone." Why? So that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So there we see the same thing again in a different portion of Scripture. Goes on to say, verse 26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your trespasses." Folks, this is serious stuff. I mean, I knew it was serious, but when you study this stuff and I mean, I had to kind of put this all together, spending time on this, I really got a better understanding and a revelation of how important it is to forgive people. So if you have anything against them, what are you going to do? Forgive them. And once the forgiveness is in place, once we've done that, this is when the freedom comes. This is when the deliverance actually comes in our own lives. Right? I know of situations where people we have been really, really ill. And the first thing you say to them, you know, if you're pastoring or ministering to people, is there anybody that you haven't forgiven? And when they tell you, the number of people that are set totally free when they make a decision to go and forgive a person, in their health as well. It's amazing, right? And why I'm saying this is because if we forgive them, we receive that freedom and deliverance. And the devil no longer can claim a legal right over your life and my life if we do what God's told us to do. He no longer has a legal right, and that's what happens. You know, he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. If he can get a foothold in there, he will try to convert it into a stronghold. But when we deal with this thing, he no longer has a legal right. And as I say, people are getting set free mentally, or emotionally, physically, and all types of things. You may say this to me, but Dave, I don't feel I can forgive that person. You just don't know what that person did to me. If that's you, I've got good news for you. Because you don't have to feel. You have to decide. This is the decision that we make. This thing of feeling is that this is when we speak to a person's emotions. And if we speak to a person's emotions, we get an emotional response. Right? This is an act of our will. And a lot of preaching around the world, let me say this, a lot of preaching is actually misdirected because it's aimed at people's emotions and it's not aimed at people's wills. And people that God uses in a mighty way, those people that have changed lives, they normally are the people that are preaching. When they share the word of God, they're preaching at the person's will and not at their emotions. We need to remove our emotions from there. How many of us know Charles Finney? You heard of Charles Finney? Okay. Incredible man of God. This is what he said, and I'm just going to read it as it is. He says, I'm not interested in anything but the will. In other words, he's not interested in people's emotions. I'm not interested in anything but the will. So you do not have to feel forgiveness, you have to will forgiveness. And if you are a child of God, you have the power to do it, to forgive someone. Then he goes on to say, you may have divorced your husband 20 years ago, but if you have not forgiven him, you are still tied to him. We are still tied to those people. Somebody might have abused you or done something terrible to you 25 years ago. Let me tell you, 24 years and 53 weeks ago, they forgot about you. They haven't thought about you again. They haven't thought about you. You've carried it for 25 years. And the reason why we forgive people is to set ourselves free, and then we hand them over to the Lord. Then it's between them and the Lord. And the Lord will make sure that things are resolved. So forgiveness, we see, is actually an act of our will. And it's also an utterance of our mouth. So we actually decide it, then we say it, and that's it. That's all we do. Also, don't go back to it again. So once we've done this, once we have forgiven someone, you know, do we have to go back and forgive them? I know the Bible talks about forgiving 70 times 7 and, you know, all of that. But once we have forgiven a person and we truly have forgiven them, if you still feel resentment towards that person every time you think about them, you know what you do? Put them on your prayer list. Put them on your prayer list so that every single day you are praying for that person. You've already forgiven them, but you still feel this thing. You pray for them, you ask for God's favor, God's blessing upon them, and so on. And I can tell you in a very short time, you'll find that it won't be an issue anymore. You won't resent them anymore. Amen. So folks, really the choice, this is up to us. So we can choose to allow unforgiveness to ruin our lives, or we can decide as an act of our will to actually go out there and forgive people. Amen. You choose. We choose.